I'm holding on Kuf Samachtes Amud Beis, 12 lines from the bottom. We learned about the case where going back to the Mishnah, we had a case where a person's shtar has gotten rubbed as worn out, and now he wants a new shtar written. And we were discussing what exactly can be done to write. The Mishnah had said you can write a new shtar. We talked about that it depends. With shtar mekach memker, it's not so simple. We had a machlokas the chachamim and Reb Shimon Gamliel. The chacham say that you can. Tanakama says that you can write a new shtar provided it doesn't have achrayus. And we went through all of that yesterday. Why it needs to be without achrayus, because otherwise there's the possible knunya, the possible scam that can be done with that. And then Reb Shimon Gamliel had said that even by shtar mekach memker, you can't write a second shtar. Now we're going to deal with the. Now we're going to deal with then. So we touched on when we in the Braisa, we mentioned Reb Shimon Gamliel's opinion. Now we're going to expand on it, and we're going to explain what Reb Shimon Gamliel's reasoning is. Why don't you write a second shtar on the same field, even when there's no achrayus in it, and that means the whole knunya that we learned about before is not going to be able to work. So we said in the Braisa, Reb Shimon Gamliel amar noisin maton al chaveiroi, that Reb Shimon Gamliel says if a person. If a person gives a well, so what we said was Reb Shimon Gamliel had said that even by shtar mekach memker, you can't write a second one, and then Braiser Reb Shimon Gamliel had also said hanoisin matana l'chaveira. A person gives a present to somebody else, and then he gives him back the shtar. Then the matana is revoked, and the Chachamim say that not. So Reb Shimon Gamliel amar noisin matana l'chaveira, that if Reuven gives a present of a field, for example, to Shimon. And then later on, Shimon gives Reuven back the shtar. So then the matana goes back together with the shtar. Whereas the Chachamim say the matana remains valid. So my time with Reb Shimon Gamliel. So why does Reb Shimon Gamliel say that?
The Chachamim say that it
So the
remains
Chacham said that the
what?
matana still remains valid. Just the fact that he returned the shtar does not in and of itself undo the matana of the field. So
Can
when
you
it
come
came,
closer to the phone, Alexander? If it's muffled.
I'm sitting about as I'm sitting about the same distance from it as I usually do. I don't know. Anyway. So no, so we had learned as follows. Again, when it comes to writing a second shtar, Reb Shimon Gamliel had said you can't do it. And we had discussed yesterday the reason was because Osius Nichnis b'Mesira, because Reb Shimon Gamliel holds that just the giving over of the shtar itself constitutes an action, which now the other person is koneh the shtar. So now there's the concern, even without achrayus on the field, you still may have that he returned him the shtar. And therefore revoked the gift. And now, therefore, if we have a second shtar on it, then that creates opportunities for fraud. So now, the Braisa had said, Reb Shimon Gamliel also says, consistent with that if you give a present to somebody else and then he returns him the shtar, then chozra matnasai. So in other words, Reb Shimon Gamliel's opinion about the not writing the second shtar depends on his opinion that the giving back of the shtar itself revokes the matana. So before when we learned it yesterday, we learned that the reason is on the basis of Osius Nichnis b'Mesira, that just the giving over of the shtar itself is enough to cause the other person to be koneh the shtar, and then along with it the field. Now the Gemara is gonna visit that point briefly and see whether that is in fact the reason or whether there's a different one. So the Gemara says, "My time with Reb Shimon Gamliel. Why does Reb Shimon Gamliel say that? That just giving the shtar matana back to the giver undoes the gift." Amar Abasi, Nasa ka'omaloi, because in effect, then what we have is it's as if the giver, to begin with, when he gave the gift and gave the shtar with it. And by the way, we're talking about where the shtar itself. I think the Rimi Gash talks about that. We're talking about over here where the shtar itself is the method by which the transfer of the property is taking place. We know that property can be acquired with kesef shtar or chazaka. So here we're talking about where the here we're talking about where the shtar is the method that's being used to that where is the method that's being used to acquire the field in the first place. Anyway, so So here, Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying then, and so again, Amar Abasi, Nasa Ka'omer Loi, in effect, we consider as though when he first gave him the field and the shtar, it's as if he's telling him, Sodazun, Sun Alacha, Kozman Shah Shtar B'yonfa. This field is given to you for as long as the shtar is in your possession. So therefore, if he returns the shtar, then that means that Tanai is now being undone, and therefore the field goes back. So the Gemara says, "Yehochi nigna v'avadnami." Well, by that logic, what do you have to have that he would return the shtar and the gift would be undone? Wouldn't the same thing apply also if the shtar was stolen or lost? By that logic, Reb Shimon Gamliel would also say that the gift is revoked. Then we don't find them saying any such thing. So no, that's not the reason. Ella Omer Rabba ba Osius Niknis b'Mesira Kamiflagi. Like we said before, the Machlokas is on this point of Osius Niknis b'Mesira. When you have a shtar like this, where Reuven gives such a shtar to Shimon, and now Shimon wants to give that or sell that shtar to Levi, or in this case, Levi himself is Reuven because he's returning it to the original person. Does that work, or do we need something else? Do we need to write a new shtar to the effect that he's giving him or selling him this shtar? Reb Shimon Gamliel Asava Osius Niknis Mesira. Well, then Reb Shimon Gamliel holds that just the Mesira, just the handing over of the shtar itself, is enough to constitute that kinyan. In other words, if it was just words, if it was unwritten words, then you can't make a kinyan on that. But here, in effect, what we have is we have a written document. There is a physical piece of parchment or paper over there. So therefore, so once he gives him the shtar, then everything that goes with the shtar goes along with it. Whereas the Chachamim would hold that not. We had the Rashbam points out that we had this machloikas far earlier in our Masechta, back in the fifth perek. We had an extensive discussion about that, about whether osius niknis b'mesira, or whether it's not enough to do mesira, whether in addition a new shtar needs to be written saying that I am giving or selling you this shtar. The Rashbam also discusses that. So here we're going to mention over here in our Gemara that, well, first of all, we have the Chachamim disagree with Reb Shimon Gamliel, and then we're going to have, according to one possible understanding in the next piece of Gemara that we're going to have over here, we have Rebbe arguing with Reb Shimon Gamliel as well. So the Rashbam discusses the point, who is the halacha like? And he says based on this Gemara and based on the earlier Gemara in Or Masechta, he says that in fact the halacha would be like Reb Shimon Gamliel. And then he says that both here and there, Rabbeinu Chananel says that no, the halacha would not be like Reb Shimon Gamliel. You would actually need a shtar to go. You would need a new shtar to go together with the old shtar. So the Rashbam brings that Rabbeinu Chananel is saying that that's not enough. It's not enough to just give over the shtar. You actually do need to have a new shtar written in order to transfer the original shtar. The Rashbam says on that this is nonsense. He says to say that all you should need to do is as Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying over here, to just give over the shtar in the presence of Edim, and that would be that. With that said, again, we're saying that Rabbeinu Chananel learns that you do in fact need a new shtar for that, and there are other Rishonim who pass in that way as well. So that's the idea then of why Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying that is why Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying that you can't write a second shtar for the field even if there's no achrayus in it, because the issue is not so much the achrayus. The issue is that just the transfer of the shtar itself is going to be enough to undo the gift, and therefore, if you have a second shtar available, then he's going to use that to claim that he still has ownership of the field, and that's not going to work. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to bring another machloikas of Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim, which the Gemara is going to see. The Gemara is going to try to see whether it relates to this previous machloikas about osius nichnis b'mesira. So the Gemara says, "Tana Rabbanan, habol lidon b'shtar of a chazaka." If a person comes to Beis Din and he wants, and so suppose you have a person who had, now we have like this, Udiyu in the Masechta, it talked about extensively the idea that once a person, in the third parak, that once a person has 3 years that he's been in possession of a field, then that's enough, and he doesn't need any. What he needs chazaka sheyesh imataina, as it's called, meaning, in other words, he has to be able to bring proof. He can't just say, "Well, I found this field unoccupied, and I came to take it over." That wouldn't be a valid. Then we would say that's not a valid chazaka. But if he says that I bought this field and I had a shtar and then I lost the shtar, then we say that's reasonable. A person is not necessarily going to keep his shtar for so many years. So then that would be a valid chazaka. So now the word chazaka, we have to remember in halacha has actually a few different meanings. One of them, the 3 years chazaka. Another one is the type of chazaka called na'al gadol paratz, where a person bought a piece of property and he does something in it to demonstrate his ownership of it. Na'al, he locks a door, he puts up a door that wasn't there before. Gadar, he puts up a fence, a paratz, so he breaks through a fence. So what kind of chazaka we're talking about over here? The Rashbam in at the beginning of the sugya brings one way, and further on he brings the other way, because we're going to see there's going to be a few different ways of explaining the next braisa that we're going to quote now. So habol lidin b'shtar of chazaka, a person comes to Beis Din with a claim. So like this, he's saying that he wants to prove that the land belongs to him, where another person is claiming that, no, I never sold it to you, you stole it or whatever. And he has, and he's saying both, he has a shtar and a chazaka. So he has a shtar, so he's kept it, even though 3 years have passed. And he also has chazaka, he has edim that he's been there, that he's had chazaka for 3 years. Nidin b'shtar divrei Rebbe. So Rebbe says he has to bring the actual shtar to Beis Din. It's not going to be enough to just bring the edim of chazaka. He's going to have to actually bring because he has the shtar available, he has to bring it. As we're going to go work out in detail in the Gemara over here, according to several different opinions, what Rebbe means by that, why he would say that you have to bring, the shtar. Rav Shimon Gamliel, b'chazaka, Rav Shimon Gamliel would say that it's enough, that he just needs to bring the Eide Chazaka. Now, the Rashbam brings a girsa that existed in front of him that actually said that the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Rav Shimon Gamliel says that you only the chazaka, not the shtar. Isn't the shtar valid as a proof as well? And ema afa chazaka. So no, what Rav Shimon Gamliel means is that it's enough to bring the edei chazaka. You don't need to bring the shtar. But the Rashbam takes out that girsa because, again, based on how the Gemara is going to go through several different possible ways of explaining the machlokas, then that piece doesn't, that line doesn't necessarily belong. Tosfa says, listen, you know, at the end, the Gemara has that lamaskana. So therefore, so you could have that, even though as the Gemara goes through the discussion, it's going to assume that line is not there. Nevertheless, sometimes the Gemara will do that. Sometimes when the Gemara brings a braisa, it doesn't bring it word for word. It paraphrases it based on the maskana. And so here we can have the same thing as well, since the maskana is going to be that, that's what Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying, that it's enough to have one or the other. You don't need both. Then therefore, the Gemara, to begin with, when it quoted the Braisa, had that line in it, even though, in fact, that wasn't originally part of the Braisa, and in fact, not according to all opinions, is that what the Braisa means. In general, we've talked about before where the Gemara attributes and says that Reb Ploni said such and such, doesn't always mean he said that word for word. Sometimes it just means that he said something along those lines from which we can deduce that he would hold such and such. So here, basically, Tosfos is saying that it's somewhat similar over here, since we're going to end up saying that's what Reb Shimon Gamliel means. So the Gemara, to begin with, when it quoted the Braisa, quoted as if that's what Rav Shimon Gamliel said, even though in fact he didn't actually say that, and we have different ways of explaining what he said that don't assume that he said that. Okay, so the Gemara says, but my kamiflagi, what exactly is the nature of the machloikas Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rebbe? So the answer, so the first answer is, ki oser Rav Dimi Omar, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, "But Osius Nichnis Memesira Kamifigi." It's that same machlokas of Osius Nichnis Memesira that we were just discussing about whether it's enough to just hand over the shtar, or whether the or whether you actually need to write another shtar. Which we just said according we just said that Rabbah explained that was the previous machlokas of Reb Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim as well about writing a second shtar on the field. So now Reb Shimon Gamliel and would be consistent with his opinion, and Rebbe would be following the opinion of the Chachamim. Again, according to the Rashbam, the halacha would be like Reb Shimon Gamliel. According to most other Rishonim, according to Rabbeinu Chananel and most other Rishonim, the halacha would in fact be like Rebbe, that Osius are not Niknes Memesira, and you need something more than that. Anyway, so Reb Dimi would say that the machlokas over here depends on that one over there. Reb Shimon Gamliel sava ein Osius Niknes Memesira. Reb Shimon Gamliel holds that just giving over the shtar is not so. Now Reb Dimi is going to say the opposite of what we said before. Reb Shimon Gamliel is going to say that ein osius niknes memesira, just handing over the shtar is not going to be enough. You're going to so therefore he says that so now he has the shtar. That's not enough of a proof that he actually has the field. Therefore, he needs Eidei Chazaka. And here, when we say Eidei Chazaka, would actually mean the kind of Chazaka as in Nor Godo Parath, the kind of Chazaka that he would have done to begin with to demonstrate his ownership of the field. And also the Rashbam adds that it would have, based on what we learned earlier in the Masechta, that it would also have to be that he had the part of that is that he has Eidim, that the seller told him, go do that. Lech chazak ukni, go make a chazaka, and thereby you'll acquire the property. So Reb Shimon Gamliel would be saying, according to Reb Dimi, that it's not enough to bring the shtar, because we don't know whether the fact that he has the shtar in his possession is not necessarily enough all by itself to establish the ownership of the field. So therefore, Reb Shimon Gamliel would say that now it's true that land can be bought with a shtar mechira, but nevertheless, here where he's saying that he bought it by virtue of chazaka, and the shtar is basically there only as a raya, then Reb Shimon Gamliel would say that you need to bring your eide chazaka, and they need to demonstrate that everything was done properly, that you did a chazaka, and that you were told that you can, and you were told that you can do that chazaka. In fact, the Ramban points out, if the whole point is Reb Shimon, it has to be that way, because if the whole point is, according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, according to Reb Dimi's understanding thus far, if Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying the ownership of the shtar is not in and of itself proof, then if he were to say, well, I only have chazaka, then if he were to say, I have chazaka of 3 years, and the basis of that is this shtar, then we would say that's called chazaka she'eni mataina. We would say, yeah, but the whole question is whether your shtar is a valid proof that you own this land, because again, according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, ein osius niknes memesira, and therefore, if your chazaka of 3 years is based only on that, that's not a good chazaka. That is why we would have to say, according to Reb Dimi, the chazaka we're talking about over here is a chazaka that actually itself creates a kinyan. So although the Ramban says you could maybe say that it does mean chazaka of 3 years, but he's saying that he bought it with money, and that the chazaka is in fact that now he's been there for 3 years, and it's a chazaka sheyesh imataina, because he's saying it's not based on the shtar, it's based on money that I paid him as well. Anyway, so Reb Shimon Gamliel would say that just the ownership of the shtar is not enough; you need something more. The Rebbe Sava Osius Nichnis Memesira, whereas Rebbe would hold that it's fine to just give over the shtar, and therefore the fact that he has the shtar itself is itself enough proof that he owns the karka, and therefore he doesn't need to bring any edim regarding any kind of chazaka. So that's Rav Dimi's explanation. Omalei Abaya, but Abaya says to Rav Dimi, how does that work? Im ken plugda l'demar. Then it comes out that you, Rav Dimi, are arguing with what my Rebbe said, my Abaya's Rebbe being Rabbah, where we just said before that Rabbah explained the previous machloikas of Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim as depending on the point of Osius Niknes Memesira, but the other way around, where Rav Shimon Gamliel says Osius Niknes Memesira, and Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim rather say that not. So you, Rav Dimi, are arguing with that. Amalei, so Rav Dimi says, fine, but Tiflug, okay, so there's an argument, so I argue with Rabbah, big deal. Amalei, So Abaya clarifies what he says, Chochi Kaminalach, what I mean to say to you is as follows. After all, the braisa that we brought before with the previous machlokas of Reb Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim about can you write a second shtar for a field without achrayos, there's no way to explain that the machlokas in that braisa only the way my Rebbe, Rabbah, explained it. Because again, we had Rav Asi's explanation that it has to do with in effect, he's saying that you own the field as long as you own the shtar, but we shot that down, we slugged that up, because then in that case, if the shtar is lost or stolen, then the same, then also the gift would be revoked. So there's no way to explain that braisa except according to Rabbah. So fine, yes, Rav Dimi, you're an Amora and you're entitled to argue with Rabbah, but how are you going to explain that previous braisa then? Hagoy Sabach, by the way, points out that according to the Rashbam, the Girsa is not Hachikam in a loch, etc. But just Imkain, if you're going to say, fine, you have a right, it amounts to the same thing. It's just a shorter way of saying it. Fine, you have a right to argue with Rabbah, but then how are you going to explain that Braisa? So Masnisa Lemitaritza Elikitimitaritza Mar. The only way to explain it is the way that my Rebbe, Rabbah, explained it. And in the Imkain, according to you, you're going to say that the argument here is also on Osius Nichnis Mimisira, but you're going to say the other way around that Rav Shimon Gamliel holds no and Rebbe holds yes. Well, then Kasha did Rav Shimon Gamliel, I did Rav Shimon Gamliel. Then Rav Shimon Gamliel is going to be contradicting himself. So no, says Abaya, we can't really accept your explanation. Fine, you have a right to argue with Rabbah, but you're still going to have to find some way of explaining the previous braisa. And if you can't, then we can't accept your explanation. Elo, Omer Abaya, Hochab Maya Skinan. Rather, Abaya says, we're not dealing over here with a question of whether the giving of the shtar was valid or not. In fact, both Reb Shimon Gamliel and Rebbe might hold Osius Nichnis Mimisira. And again, when we had the earlier sugya and Daf Ayin Vav all about that, then we did say that according to Rebbe, Osius Nichnis Mimisira, and we just said a little while ago that according to Rabbah's explanation, which is the only valid way at this point, is Reb Shimon Gamliel also holds that. So Osius Nichnis Mimisira, says Abaya. Rather, the machlokas is Hochab Mayaskinen Gunchi Nimtza Echman Korov Apostle. The machlokas would be about, yes, it was a regular shtar. So we're not talking about there's a question of whether the fact that he has the shtar in his possession proves that he owns the field. The problem is we look at the Edom on the shtar and we find that one of them was a relative of one of them or he was a posel la'edos, and then therefore that means the shtar. So you have a problem with the signatures on the shtar. Well, then the machlokas of Reb Shimon Gamliel and Rebbe is dependent on the machlokas, is similar to, is the same machlokas as Reb Meir and Reb Elazar. Rebbe Savalak Rebbe Elazar Dama Edim Esira Kauti. Well then, Rebbe is going to hold like Rebbe Elazar that the Chlal, when it comes to a get, for example, it's not the Edim who sign on it that Kauti that caused the cutting off of the relationship between the husband and the wife to be accomplished, but rather he says Edim Esira Kauti. The Edim who see it being handed over are the ones who accomplish that cutting off that severing of the relationship. According to Rebbe Elazar B'chlal, there's not even necessary for the Edim to be signed on the get in the first place. It's only mipnei tikkun olam that the Chachamim said the Edom should sign on the get. That way, when the wife wants to prove later that she's divorced and that she can remarry and that she can collect her chsuba and everything else, she doesn't have to go bring the edim that saw the get being given. But in principle, according to Rebbe Elazar, a get doesn't have to be signed b'chlal. Well, then according to him, if one or even both of the edim is possible, big deal. They weren't needed anyway, as long as you have the valid edim is sira. Reb Shimon Gamliel, Sovel like Reb Meir, Dama Edim Chasima Kauti, whereas Reb Shimon Gamliel would hold like Reb Meir, who says the Edim who sign on it, Kauti, are the ones who cut off the relationship, they're the ones who make the get take effect. Therefore, according to him, both of the Edim signed in it have to be kosher to Edim, and otherwise the get is possible, and similarly with other shtaris, well then in that case, that would explain why Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying over here, yes, you have a shtar, but one of the Edim on that shtar is possible. Therefore, forget about your shtar. You need to bring your Eidei Chazaka. And again, that would have to mean Eidei Chazaka. It would also have to mean the type of Chazaka that we mean that he did leich chazak ukni, that he told him go make a chazaka, and that he doesn't go, and that he goes and does so, because again, otherwise you have the same problem. If you mean a chazaka of 3 years, then we're talking chazaka she'eni matayna, because the chazaka itself is the chazaka of 3 years itself is based on a flawed shtar. Tosfos, by the way, points out that even Rabbi Shimon Gamliel himself might agree when it comes to Gittin, he might agree with Rabbi Lazar that Edim is Sira Kauti, that you don't need Edim signed on it, and the reason they sign is only with Bnei Tikkun Olam. Whereas he would say, when it comes to other shtaris, though, you do need, which is what we're dealing with over here, then you do need to have them signed. Tosfos gives another explanation that Reb Shimon Gamliel himself holds like Reb Meir throughout, but he's talking in a different machlokas over there. He's saying even according to you, Chachamim. The point is, therefore, now Abaye is saying that's the explanation of the machlokas over here. We're dealing with a shtar where one of the Edim is found to be possible, and the question is whether that invalidates the whole thing, or whether at least we can bring Edim who saw it being given over, and that's good enough. The question is, the problem with that is that Rab Abba explains, even Rabbi Lazar would only say that a get or another shtar is kosher only if there's no edim signed on it at all. But if it's mezuyach mitoicha, if you can see from the content of the shtar itself that it's forged, or in this case, that there's a posel aid in it, then even Rabbi Lazar would agree, shehu posel, that such a thing is posel. Rabbi Lazar would say, fine, you don't need Edim sign on it, but if you're going to have Edim sign on it, they do have to be kosher to Edim. To have posel Edim on it would pass all the shtar, even if Edim is sitter kauti. So that explanation doesn't work. Ela Omer Rav Avina. So rather, Rav Avina gives a different explanation. Rav Avina, it says on the side it's supposed to be, or Ravina, whatever. So Rabbi Avina gives a different explanation. Hakol modim shim kosev boi huskaknu la'idus and shal edim. Everybody would agree that if the shtar had that based in when they wrote a henpik on it, again, you know, the shtar is being brought to Beis Din at some point to validate and make sure that the signatures on it are genuine and all that. If there is a henpik on the shtar that says "Huskaknu la'edus and shal edim," we have checked out, we've investigated the edus of the edim who are signed in the shtar, v'nimtzas edus and mezuyafes, and we find out that the edus is forged. That there's something wrong with the edus, then shul posel, then the shtar is going to be posel for kid Rab Abba, like what Rab Abba said, mezuyach mitoichai. Lo nechluku ela b'shtar she'enol of edim klal. So exactly that, the machlokas would be where there's no edim in the shtar at all. So therefore, there's only edim asira, the shtar was handed over. The Rebbe savolak Rabbi Lazar d'ama edim asira kauti. Rebbe Shimon Gamliel savolak Rabbi Meir d'ama edim asira kauti. So then it is the exact same machlokas, but you don't need to say like a baya that we're talking about that there were edim in it, but one of them is korov apostle. You're talking about where to begin with there were no edim on the shtar in the first place. So therefore, the question is can he bring that shtar? Can he just bring his chazaka as a raya, or does he have to bring that shtar and bring the edim asira? Rebbe is going to say nidin b'shtar. He has to be judged based on the shtar, meaning because. Rebbe would say it's fine, bring the shtar, you just need to bring your Edim Masira with it. Rebbe Shimon Gamliel would hold, look, the shtar itself is possible, there's no sense bringing it to Beis Din, just bring your Edim Chazaka and have done with it. The Yad Ramah points out, if we're talking about Edim of Chazaka of 3 years, then it means he's going to have some other evidence, according to Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, that he bought the karka. He's going to have to be able, he's going to have at least, if not at least a claim, and he's going to have to claim that he bought it with Kesef, or that he bought it with another shtar, or something like that, or that he bought it with Chazaka of the other type, like Chazak Ukni, because otherwise, again, we're back to Chazaka She'eni Matayna, and that's not going to work. The Iboy Sema, another way you could explain the machlokas of Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel about the shtar. Let's say we're not talking about whether the shtar has edim on it or not. So let's say, in other words, the previous answer of Rabbi Avina was that the shtar is not signed at all. And the question is that good enough for an or no? The previous answer actually was that if there are signatures on it and Beis Din checks them out and finds that there's something wrong, that one of the edim was korov a posel, then yeah, forget about it. Now let's say we're talking about Bechlal, the shtar is not mekuyim yet. So let's say that there are signatures on the shtar, but it hasn't been brought to Beis Din yet to validate and write a henpik on it. So, but moedish b'shtar shekosvet tzorich l'kaima kamifagi. We can say Reb Shimon Gamliel and Rebbe are arguing on the point. Well, do you need to be mekayim it in order to use it as a shtar or not? Now, normally we would say that you have a shtar, you don't. So that's the question. When you bring a shtar, can the other person claim that it was forged or whatever, and therefore you have to be mekayim it or not? But here you have the twist where he's agreeing that I wrote the shtar. So he's saying, but he's saying, yes, I wrote the shtar, but I didn't actually sell him the field. I just dropped the shtar, and now this guy is finding it and claiming on that basis that he owns the field. So that's the question. When he admits that he wrote the shtar, do we need to validate it in order to make it work as a shtar? We talked about this a few days ago, for example, let's say in a case of a malva and a loiva. So if the loiva is not moide that he wrote the shtar, that's a valid shtar, then he's able to claim in Beis Din that it's forged, and then we need to be mekayim it. If he himself admits that it's valid, is that all? We can say, well, then that's it. The shtar is definitely valid. We don't need to take any further steps. Or do we say that nevertheless we need to be mekayim it, and without that he wouldn't be able to claim that it's forged, but he'd be able to claim paraiti, I paid it back, or something like that. So here, in other words, the Rashbam explains, usually we would say apesha also apesha hitu. You're saying that you're admitting that you wrote the shtar, but you're also saying that you paid it off or whatever. But over here, after all, here he's saying, if he were to say, I never wrote the shtar in the first place, we wouldn't suspect the lekeach, we wouldn't suspect a yid without any proof of writing a forged shtar. So all it would be is the other guy is coming to Beis Din with a complaint saying, you have this field, you have this field in your possession, but it's actually mine. So then in that case, so do we require him to be mekayim as shtar in order to be able to claim that therefore he owns the field, or do we just tell the other guy, listen, you yourself admit you wrote the shtar, you're claiming you dropped it, that's not really a very good claim. So we would say, did Rebbe solve a moide b'shtar shekosva ein tzorich l'kaimai? So Rebbe would say, once the moicher whose name is written in the shtar admits that he wrote the shtar, then no further kiyum is needed. Even if he were to claim that it's completely forged, we would say that you have to be mekayim it. But here he's saying it's not forged. I did write it, so therefore, so we're not going to accept any further claim that would pass all the shtar. So therefore, so Rebbe says, bring your shtar to Beis Din, and that's good enough. The other guy does admit that he wrote that shtar. He's just claiming that he dropped it. So therefore, fine. We're not going to accept that claim. Your shtar is going to be good enough to show that you own the field. Reb Shimon Gamliel Sovat Tzorech L'Kaimai. Reb Shimon Gamliel would hold that he does need to be Mekayim it, because otherwise we're going to say, Apesha Osa, Apesha Hitir. So therefore, look, as long as we don't do a kiyum on it, then we're going to believe the other guy to say that he wrote the shtar and dropped it, because apesha also apesha hitter. So therefore, so you're going to have to bring your edi chazaka. So in other words, Reb Shimon Gamliel, when he says nidin b'chazaka, he doesn't mean it's impossible to use the shtar. He means if you want to be mekayim that shtar, fine, then we can deal with that. But right now, until you're mekayim right now, and as long as you're not mekayim that shtar, don't bother bringing the shtar to Beis Din. Just bring your edi chazaka. Okay, so that would be another way of explaining their machlokes. Well, the Gemara asks, well, if you use that last answer, then we find that Reb Shimon Gamliel and Rebbe respectively say the other way around. Where we have Reb Shimon Gamliel saying that ain't sorech l'kaimoy, and Rebbe saying that sorech l'kaimoy. So namely, D'tanya, we learn in a braisa in Bava Metzia, Shnayim Adukin B'Shtar, if we have two people grabbing a hold of a shtar, so at the beginning of Bava Metzia, you have, which Gemara is going to bring in a few lines, Shnayim Ochsin B'Talis, two people are holding on to a talis, and each one claiming Zer Kula Shali. Now we have a similar case where Malva and Loiva both come into Beis Din, each holding one end of a shtar, and each one claiming that they have ownership of it. The Malva is claiming the loan is still outstanding, the Loiva is claiming that he already paid off the shtar, that he already paid it off. So Shnayim Adukim Shtar, Malva Oymer Shalihu, the Malva says it's still mine, you haven't paid off the debt yet, or enough of me many, I dropped it, Umatsosai, and you found it, and now you're using it to claim that, that you paid it off, or a bit of a different gears, it would be Umatsosiv, actually, is how the Gemara has it in Bava Metzia. I found it, but now you're claiming that. But now you're coming over here and claiming that you paid it off. Anyway, the loiva omer shalchohu prativ l'cha. The loiva says it was yours. I do. It was your shtar originally. I agree that it was. Or prativ l'cha, but I paid you. So what do? Yiskayim hashtar b'choisim of divrei Rebbe. So Rebbe says, well, what we have to do is we have to do a kiyum on it. We have to have Beis Din validate the signatures. Once we do that, then the Malva will have the ability to collect with it, and otherwise not, as the Gemara is going to explain in a few lines. Reb Shimon Gamliel, I mean Yachloiku. Reb Shimon Gamliel says that they split the amount in the shtar, so therefore the loiva is going to be paying half of what it says there. Vahavinan ba. Now, when we discuss this in Bava Metzia, the Gemara declares, the Gemara asks over there, what do you mean? How could Rebbe say Skaim Ashtab Choismav? The lessly the Rebbe Hoditnan. Does Rebbe not agree with what we learn in the first Mishnah of Bava Metzia, Shnayim Ochsin B'Talis, where two people are holding on a talis, and we don't have any more evidence for one than the other? Zema Anima Tasiya, Zema Anima Tasiya. Each one says that I found it, and the Gemara, the Mishnah continues over there. Each one says Kula Shali, it's all mine. Where you have, the Gemara explains over there, they actually have two cases over there, one where they found it and the other one where each one claims they found it, the other one where each one claims they bought it, etc., as the Gemara talks about at the beginning of Bava Metzia. Anyway. So Zay Yishava She'en LeBapachas Mechetzia. The first one swears that he owns not less than half of it. Zay Yishava She'en LeBapachas Mechetzia. The other one also swears that he owns not less than half of it. As the Gemara explains over there, why they swear in that way, why doesn't he swear that he owns the whole thing, whatever, v'yachloku, and we split it up. Which, as the Gemara explains, there doesn't mean you actually cut the talus in half, that would ruin it. It means that you take the value of it and divide it between the two of them. Or if one of them wants to have the whole talus, then he'll have to pay off the other one. Whatever. The point is that we see in that Mishnah Yachloiku. So why is Rebbe saying over here differently? Yiskayim Ashtar B'choismav. Just make sure it's a valid shtar, and then he can collect the entire thing. We don't find anybody arguing with that Mishnah. So the fact that Rebbe himself compiled the Mishnah, the Gemara is not bringing that as a proof, because many times we have Mishnayos that existed in their present form long before Rebbe, and Rebbe is just including them in the Mishnah, even though he doesn't necessarily agree with them. We find many times where the Gemara will say that Rebbe himself argues with what it says in a Mishnah, but here we don't find anybody else arguing with that din of the Mishnah. Does Rebbe not hold of it? Why here does he say differently? So for Omar Rav Nachman, so Rava explains in the name of Rav Nachman, b'mekuyam, if the shtar is already mekuyam from before, if we already have a henpek on it, and Beis Din has previously checked out the signatures in the shtar and find it to be valid, then everybody would agree that then there's no argument that they split up the amount that's in the shtar, because then at that point we know the shtar is valid, and we don't have any more reason to say that one of them has an ownership of it more than the other. Each one's potential claim that with the one that he lost it, then it was found, and the other one that it was never paid off, and that he already paid it off. Each one is equally valid, and we have no way of knowing which one is which. So we're going to do the same thing. Each one is going to swear she'ein lebapachas mechetzia, that he owns not less than half of it, and yachloku. He pligi b'sheinim mekuyim. The machlokas would be where the shtar is not mekuyim. Rebbe Sova Moda B'Shtar Shekosvet Tzorech L'Kayim, right? Rebbe would hold, even though the Loive is agreeing that he wrote the Shtar, meaning that we can't say anymore that the Shtar is forged, nevertheless, Tzorech L'Kayim, right? We still need a Kiyum on it. Aye, isn't the usual purpose of Kiyum usually just in order to make sure the Shtar is not forged? But here, without that Kiyum, then without that kiyum, then he still has the ability to say that I paid it off or whatever. Because then the validity of the shtar is based exclusively on him saying that it was that he wrote it and that it's not forged. Well, then a pesha hitter, he could say yes, it is a valid shtar, but I've since paid it off. So therefore, we need to be mekayim it. Once we do, then the validity of the shtar does not depend anymore on his being moida. Now it's been independently verified. Therefore, we can tell him that now he has to pay out. So Rebbe would say, imekayim le. So ultimately, it will be that he's going to collect only half, like in the Mishnah Shnayim Efs and Metalis. But if he's mekayim it, Rebbe would say govi palga. At least he'll be able to collect half of the debt. Like Shnayim Oks and Metalis, the Eloi, but if not Chaspa Ba'almahu, then in effect it's just like an earthenware shard. We can't do anything with it because he could say Hapesha Asa Hapesha Hitu. He could say it's already paid off. So the Reb Shimon Gamliel holds no, he doesn't need to be mekayim it. Just the fact that he says that it was a valid shtar is enough for us to say that it is valid, and therefore that we can assume that it's outstanding. So unless he brings proof to the contrary, yachloiku, then they're going to end up dividing the value of the shtar, and he's going to pay off only half of it. The point is, in other words, according to that explanation, Rebbe holds that moda b'shtar shekosva ein sof l'kaimai, Rebbe holds tzorech l'kaimai, because Rebbe would say otherwise a pesha asa a pesha hitiv. Whereas Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying that not here in our how here now in our going back to the machlokas that we're dealing with here in our sugya, where we have a person comes with a claim of a shtar and chazaka on a field, and Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying that bring your shtar. Don't bring your shtar, just bring your proof of chazaka, because your shtar is not going to be worth anything. Why? Because he holds moda b'shtar shekosvei tzorech l'kaimai, and without that kiyum, your shtar isn't worth anything. So then it comes out that the opinions are the other way around. So the Gemara says, fine, epoch, fine, you have to flip around the opinions in the Braisa and Oros Sugya. Reb Shimon Gamliel would say bring the shtar to Beis Din. Rebbe would say that you need the chazaka, because you need the edi chazaka, because the shtar itself is going to be no good without kiyum. So then it would be consistent. Another answer you could say, there's no reason to flip the opinions around. Because we could say the machloikas here, Reb Shimon and Ben Gamliel, and the chachamim is strictly about, do we need to check it out as much as possible? We have what the situation is over here again, like this. You have Reuven is in possession of the field currently. Shimon comes and says, what are you doing in this field? This field is mine. You stole it from me. I never sold it to you, etc., etc. Reuven is saying, I have two proofs. I have a shtar that you sold me the field, and in addition, I have edim that I had chazaka for 3 years. Rebbe would say that, listen, the other guy is saying that your chazaka is worthless, your chazaka of 3 years is worthless because your shtar is no good. I never gave you the shtar, I never sold you the field, and therefore, as far as I'm concerned, it's chazaka she'eni martayna. So therefore, it's not going to work. So Rebbe is saying, in that case, levarer, you have to bring. Now, it's true that if it was after three years, all he needs is Eide Chazaka. He doesn't need a shtar at all, because that's the whole point of a Chazaka of 3 years, is because after 3 years, a person doesn't usually hold on to his shtar. So Rebbe would say, though, here where he's saying, I do have a shtar, then Rebbe is saying, you know what? You have to still bring your, you say you have a shtar, bring it. We still have to check it out. If you didn't say you had a shtar, then we would say, fine, you have edim of 3 years chazaka. That'll have to be good enough, since you do have a taina. You're claiming that you bought it with a shtar and lost it. But now you're saying you do have the shtar. Therefore, we're going to require you to actually bring that shtar and validate what you're saying. Whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel would say, and would say that you don't need to. Okay, so you, listen, you have a lot of claims. The fact that you're saying you have a shtar, we can say, well, you know what? The shtar is neither here nor there, right? If you didn't have the shtar now, after 3 years, we would have believed you that you have one. Even now that you're saying that you have one, we're not going to require you to bring it to Beis Din. It's enough for you to bring your Eidei Chazaka.
We can't give him a migoy over here?
A migoy of what?
They could have said, I don't have it. It's after 3 years.
So that essentially, Rav Shimon Gamliel saying sort of kind of like a migri, basically. It's not, you're not using the term, but yeah, he's saying basically you don't need levarer. He's saying that he has Eidei Chazaka. He's saying that Chazaka is based on that he originally bought it with a shtar. We discount completely the question of whether he has a shtar or not. As far as we're concerned, after 3 years, you have no need of a shtar. So even if you're saying that you have one, we're not going to require you to bring it to Beis Din. Whereas Rebbe would say, fine, I agree if you had said you didn't have a shtar, you wouldn't have to bring one because as long as you said you had one to begin with, but now that you're saying you do have to bring it. On Omid Beis, by the way, at the end of the sugya, that Ashbam explains actually, and quotes from Rashi, that actually what we're saying over here is according to Rebbe, if he did not do that, then he's going to lose his case. When we say levarer over here, we don't just mean it would be a nice thing to do to bring it. We mean, according to Rebbe, that you actually have to bring that shtar to Beis Din. And if not, then Beis Din would tell you, listen, you say you have a shtar. If you can't bring it now and we can't validate it, then your Eidei Chazaka are not going to be enough. Tosfos discusses that and also on Omid Beis and says not necessarily is that what Rebbe means. Maybe Rebbe is saying you should be Mevarer, but we're not going to require you to, even if you didn't end up bringing your shtar, you're not going to lose your case because of that, because yeah, why should it be? Just because you're making a second claim where one claim of Chazaka, an Edom of Chazaka, would have been good enough. Therefore, you should be worse off because you made a second claim. Tosfos says that no, that's not so. So it means Rebbe would say you should be mevar your claim if you can, but if you can't, if you can't bring your shtar, then you can still win your case. All Rebbe is saying is you should bring it if possible. As the Gemara is going to now go and work out this matter of levara. It happened once that Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef was owed money by Rabbi Abba. So Rabbi Abba had previously borrowed money from him, and the loan is still outstanding. And on the side of it, the Rashbam instead has a girsa that it was Rabbi Chia. That it was a Rechia Breid Rabbi Yosef. Anyway, whatever it is, so also Kamed Rabbi Yitzchok Namcha. So they went for a din Torah in front of Rabbi Yitzchok Namcha because Rabbi Abba had not paid it back yet, or at least Rabbi Yitzchok claimed that Rabbi Abba had not paid it back yet. Omar and Rabbi Abba claims, he says, Pratich b'fnei Ploini or Ploini. I did. I paid you back in front of Ploini or Ploini. It may well be, Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out, you know, what are we going to say between two Talmid Chacham over here, that one of them is lying, Chas v'Shalom. We can say that Rabbi Yitzchak himself had forgotten that that was the case. So the read also says basically the same thing. Chas v'Shalom, we would say that two Talmid Chachamim would accuse one another of lying. It must be that Rabbi Abba is saying, listen, Rabbi Yitzchak, I did pay you, but you must have forgotten, and I paid you in front of such and such Edim. Rabbi Yitzchak says, Yavoyu, Ploini or Ploini, V'yidu. Fine. So bring those two Edim and let them say Edos that what you're saying is correct. Omalei, said Rabbi Abba, says, also Loimahem Nina, you're telling me if I don't bring those Edim, I wouldn't be believed. But Hokkaimalon, don't we know, the Gemara discusses in Masech Teshvos, Hamalves Chaveri B'fnei Edim, even a person lends money to somebody else in the presence of Edim, Ein Sorech Laporta B'Edim. He does not have to pay him back in front of Edim. It's enough for him to... He can claim that he paid back and he doesn't need to bring Edim to that effect. It's true that Ashbam says that if the Edim were to come and say if the Edim were to come and say loy ho yudvorim olam, well, actually we'll talk about that in a minute, but anyway, so the point is that yeah, just because you always have the ability to claim I paid back, and if you want to say that not, then you're gonna have to bring a proof to the contrary, or I'll have to swear a shavuos heses at most. So what are you telling me? I have to bring my aid in. Omerle, so Rabbi Yitzchok Napcha answers. Sorry, when it was Rabbi Yitzchok who had said, that wasn't Rabbi Yitzchok, but Rabbi Yosef, the Malva, that was Rabbi Yitzchok Napcha, the Dayan. Says to him, if you're saying you have Edim, then bring your Edim. So Rabbi Abba asks, why do I need to bring my Edim? What happened to that concept of Hamal vs. Chaber Be'edim and Sorach L'Por Be'edim? Omaleh, so Rabbi Yitzchok Napcha answers, Ana Bahi, I, as far as that particular din, Tishmaita Demar Svirlei, I hold, according to the a concept that you yourself, Rabbi Abba, say in that sugi over there, Da'amar Rabba Adar, Amar Rabba Adar Ba'ava, Da'amar Rabba Abba, Amar Rabba Adar Ba'ava, Amar Rab, Ha'omel Chaberei, that if the loiva says praticha b'fnei pliny or pliny, that I did pay you back in front of pliny or pliny, tzorach shiavo pliny or pliny via edu, then you do require pliny and pliny to come and say the edus. It's true that if you hadn't said that I gave it, that I paid back in front of edim, then we would say we can believe your claim, and the most you're going to have to do is swear a shavos heses. But now that you're saying you have edim, you do have to bring those edim. Now, the Rashbam points out an interesting point. Even if the Edim were to come and say, that no, that never happened, we never saw that payment, that wouldn't mean that Rabbi Abba loses his case, because the Rashbam brings from a Gemara also in Masechta Shavuos over there, Kol Milsa Delei Ramya Alei De'inish, when a person is not required to remember something for the sake of Eidos, he may not remember it. Here, where the Eidim were unnecessary, because after all, you don't need to pay back the loan in front of the Eidim in the first place, then even though Eidim may have been present, they're not obligated to remember it. And if they say, we don't remember such a thing, doesn't mean that the one who's bringing them is necessarily not telling the truth. But at least, says Rabbi Yitzchak Napcha, fine, it doesn't really matter whether the Eidim say they remember it or not, but at least you're saying you need to bring Eidim, then at least you need to bring them. That would be like Rebbe, Tzorach Levaro. You do need to clarify your claims as much as possible. You're saying you have Edim, then therefore you need to bring those Edim. Again, Tosfos now, as part of their argument with the Rashbam about what this whole Tzorach Levaro business means, they mention the point that it may not mean that. It may mean that we're talking according to the Shimon Gamliel, that would be the case, that it's fine if you bring the Edim and they deny and say, L'heru Dvorim Olam. According to Rebbe, that wouldn't necessarily be the case. So Rabbi Yitzchok Napcha is telling Rabbi Abba, listen, you say you have Edim, you got to bring your Edim. Omalei, so Rabbi Abba says to him, didn't Rav Gidol say in the name of Rav that in our case the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel? The af Rebbe loy Omar elo levarer, and that even Rebbe is only saying, according to the last answer that we gave in the Gemara, that Rebbe is not saying that. In the case of the shtar, of the chazaka, all he's saying is you have to be mevarer, and you have to bring your proofs. So Rebbe would say that if you don't bring your proofs, then you're losing. But after all, even Rebbe is only saying, because he said something extra that he didn't need to. He said I had a shtar, or in my case, I'm saying that I have edim. But didn't we just say the halacha is like Reb Shimon Gamliel, that we don't hold him to that just because he said that? Because even Rebbe himself is only saying that you only need it kedei levara. Omalei, so Rabbi Yitzchok Napcha says, well, yeah, no nami levara kamina. That's what I mean. I am saying that we are paskening like Rebbe. Yes, Rabbi Gidol is saying the halacha is like Reb Shimon Gamliel, but I'm saying. There is, in fact, a different girsa that Rishonim have, where Rav Gidol had said halacha ke Rebbe. That, in fact, according to a different girsa, Rav Gidol actually is saying the halacha is like Rebbe. However, that even Rebbe is only saying that sorach levarer. So Rav Yitzchak Napcha says, yeah, no nami levarer kamina. Yeah, that's what I mean. You do have to bring your edim that you say you have levarer in order to clarify the matter. And again, according to the Rashbam, that will mean, and if you don't bring those Edim, then you're going to lose out. If you at least bring the Edim, even if they say we don't remember any such thing, then that would be fine. At least you brought your Edim. But without that, we're going to say, like Rebbe, that Sorach Levarer, and therefore you're going to lose your case. Again, that's according to the Rashbam. Tosfos discusses that and disagrees with that and says that no, Rebbe is only saying lachatchila, and that Rebbe is not, and that we wouldn't necessarily say that if he did bring the edim and they said lahoyu dvarim ma'olam, that we would still say Rav Abba would win his case, not necessarily. So it comes out in a certain sense that Tosfos, in a way, is being more machmir versus the Rashbam, and in a different way, being more mekel. On the one hand, according to them, Rabbi Yitzchak Napka is not saying you absolutely must bring your edim, and without you bringing them, you're going to lose your case. But on the other hand, according to Tosfos, according to one possibility in Tosfos anyway, Rabbi Yitzchak Napka is saying, but if you bring the edim and they say lahadam lahir dvar ma'olam, then you are going to lose your case. Whereas again, according to the Rashbam, the point would be the other way around. You have to bring these edim. Without that, you're going to lose your case, and you're not going to be believed to say that you paid off. But if you bring the edim, no matter what they say, you will be believed. Okay, so the point is that we see, therefore, that that's the final understanding of this machlokas of Shimon Gamliel and Rebbe about when a person comes with a claim of shtar and chazaka on a field, where again, we said Rebbe had said nidin b'shtar, and Reb Shimon Gamliel says b'chazaka, so now we understand, based on this final answer, that that's what it means. Rebbe says, since you said you have a shtar, you do have to bring that shtar to Beis Din. And according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, you said you had a shtar, doesn't really matter. The fact is you didn't require that shtar in the first place because you already have edim of 3 years chazaka, therefore you don't need to bother bringing your shtar even without that. The fact that you have a claim of chazaka and you have a taina to go with it, you're saying that that chazaka is based on an original shtar, which is since lost, then that's fine. Even if now you say you have a shtar, we're not going to hold you to that to bring it. Mishnah says, Misha pora miktas choivri. Suppose a person paid off part of his debt. So he borrowed $100. There was a shtar that he owes $100. Now he paid off 50 of it. Which, by the way, he's able to do even bal kochay of the malva. The malva is not able to say no. It's all or nothing. He has to be willing to accept payment piecemeal. Now, in a previous Mishnah, we learned that one possibility we can do then is to give the shtar to a third party to prevent the malva from claiming from trying to claim the whole debt again. We learned on Kuf Samach Chesamar Aleph about such a thing. But now, let's say they can't find a shtolish who they can agree on. So, what do? Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yachlif. Rabbi Yehuda says that the malva has to give him a new shtar. We're going to write a new shtar. It's machlokas rishonim based on different understandings of the Gemara, as we're going to go on to, whether we write a new shtar with the original date or with the new date of when the shtar is, of when the new shtar is done. Rabbi Yossi, I'm a yichtav shoiver. Rabbi Yossi says that no, you can't require the malva to rip up a shtar and write a new one. Instead, we just have a shoiver, a receipt written out that the loiva paid off X amount of the choiv. Omer of Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says to Rabbi Yossi, "Ledvarach." Rabbi Yehuda says, "Nim tzezet sarach lias shoyma shoyverim in achbarim." It comes out according to you. What's going to happen is that the poor guy, the loiva, is going to have to constantly guard his shoyver and make sure that mice don't get to it or doesn't get damaged in any other way. How is that right? Shouldn't there better just be one new outstanding shtar that says that he owes only 50? Amar lo Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi answers back. You know what? Kach yofaloi. This is how the proper thing for the malva. That yes, we can put that responsibility on the loiva. There was a concept based on a pasuk, Eved loiva leish malva. A loiva is a slave to the malva, and that means to a certain extent, when there's responsibilities and hassles and whatnot involved in having borrowed money, then we do impose that more of those on the loiva than on the malva. So that's how it has to be. It's proper that the malva has the ability to put that responsibility on the loiva to guard that shoiver. Rather than reducing the koyach of the malva by having him have a new shtar. Then the malva is going to be the malva's position is going to be weaker.
Why we worry about the achbarim by a shaver and not worry about when it comes to the regular
Well, look, I mean, you know, the malva was willing to lend money in the first place. Obviously, he's willing to take his chances with that. But that's the nature of lending. That's the nature of lending money. But basically, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, why bring in another shtar that was otherwise unnecessary? Just start with a new shtar, and the malva will have the same responsibility as he had with it before.
Right, but the star, each star is like they eat the shayber. It's the same thing. So
I'm saying, but in other words, the point is, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, look, the fact that the malva is going to have to worry about achbarim, fine, that's been all along. There's no way to avoid that. But that now you should say we have to write a shayber, and therefore it means that now, in addition, the loiver is also going to have that responsibility of watching his shayber. Why should we do that?
Because the malva was a nice guy and lent him money.
Yeah, but that's fine. So then you, Malva, you'll continue to have a shtar. You had a shtar before. You had to watch it from mice. You have a new shtar. You'll also watch it from mice. So, but Rabbi Yossi is pointing out that actually the fact is that then in that case, Rabbi Yehuda is going to explain, we're going to learn in the Gemara, that this way, because there is because precisely that, the fact that the loiva has to watch his shoiver means that motivates him, he better pay off, because otherwise if he doesn't, then he's going to be on the hook for the whole thing again. So that itself will motivate him to pay off the shtar faster. That's one way, because that's the Rashbam's explanation of what Rabbi Yossi is saying. There's other explanations that Ramban explains. In other words, that it's for the good of the loiva. Otherwise the malva would say, when the loiva comes with half the money, you know what, I don't want to accept half the money, because then precisely that, you're going to make me write a new shtar according to Rabbi Yehuda, and I don't want that. I want to just keep my old shtar, so therefore don't bother. Come back when you have all the money. So it's for the good of the loiva to be able to pay piecemeal, and therefore, says Rabbi Yossi, that's reason enough to write a shover rather than to have to write a whole new shtar. Well, the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, ein halacha lo k'Rav Yehuda v'lo k'Rav Yosi." So actually, Rav Huna says, in the name of Rav, the halacha is not precisely like Rav Yehuda or Rav Yosi in our Mishnah. Ella, based in Makarin Ashtar, rather the implication of what Rav Yehuda said, Yachlif, is that anybody can write him a new shtar, even the Eidim. But no, says Rav, Beistin will be the one who rip up the original shtar, v'koisim l'shtar acham izman rishon, and they write a new shtar with the original date. Now, Tosfos discusses over here at some length, that it was, is it just the difference of who writes the shtar, where according to Rabbi Yehuda, even the Edim can do it, and according to Rav, we're saying that only Beistin can do it? Or does it mean, in addition, Rabbi Yehuda would have been saying that when a new shtar is written, it's written as of the new date? So the original loan was taken out in Tishrei. He paid off half the loan in Cheshvan, and he would have a new document written with the date Cheshvan. Whereas now Rav would be saying that no, the shtar is written from the original date, and that way it's not causing the malva to lose out on the shibud during that time. So that would be the halacha. An interesting point over there is that Rav is an Amora. How is he arguing with Tanoim? Well, the Rashbam points out Rav Tana hu polig. Rav, being a Tana, is able to argue with Tanoim. There is a very interesting side point in that as well. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman points out that, wait a minute, we also have a concept that when we have a machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is definitely an amora, no question about it. So if you're telling me that Rav has the ability outright to argue with Tanoim all the time, how is Rabbi Yochanan arguing with him ever? And how is the halacha even like Rabbi Yochanan? So he says, he asked that to Rabbi Chaim Brisker. And then Reb Chaim explained, when we say that an Amora doesn't argue with a Tana, we don't mean he's never allowed to. We mean if he knew what the Tana said, he wouldn't have argued. Therefore, the Gemara all the time can bring what it says, what an Amora says, and then we bring a Braisa where Tana says differently, and we slog up the Amora. But here, where Rav knows what Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi are saying, and he consciously argues with them, the halacha may well be like him. So Rav Tanahu Polig, from our perspective, that gives him the right to argue on the Tanoim whenever he wants. From Rabbi Yochanan's perspective, it means that in certain limited cases, Rav has the ability to argue with Tanoim. Anyway, Rav has the ability to have that opinion. Rav Nachman asked Rav Huna, Va'amil Rav Yumi Ba'aba, Rav Huna, or others say that Rav Yumi Ba'aba asked Rav Huna, Ishmiel Rav Ha Braisa. You know what? If Rav had heard of the following Braisa, then he might have said differently. D'tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Edim Makarin as a Shtar, Vakosim Le Shtar Acham is Manrishin, that the Edim are the ones who rip up the original Shtar, and they write a new Shtar with the original date. So then, Abba Hoda Bey, if Rav knew of that Braisa, he would have changed his mind. What do you mean? Ain halacha could have Yehuda. According to Rav, it's exactly the same thing. Okay, Rav is saying that Beis Din writes the new shtar rather than the Edim, but does that necessarily mean that it has to be that way, that only Beis Din can do it? Maybe Rav would say that it really doesn't make a difference whether Beis Din or Edim do it. The main point is, when is the new shtar dated? The original date or the new date? So then Rav would have had no reason to say the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Amalei, so Rav Huna says, no, Shmielei, V'loi Hodebe. No, Rav knew perfectly well of that Braisa, but that didn't cause him to change his mind. Because there is, in fact, a difference between Beis Din or the Edim writing the new shtar. B'shlema Beidina alimi lafkur mamoina. A Beis Din has a strong power. They are able to take away money from one person to another. So they have the ability, they have the koyach to rip up the original shtar, replace it with a new one, and to write one that bears the original date. And after all, when you think about it, that means that so what does that mean? It means he's going to be able to exercise a shibud from the original time. When we have a new shtar over here, which for what is in effect, in a certain sense, a new loan, there should be a shibud only from the second date. Beis Din has the ability to override that with the power of Hefker Beis Din Hefker. In truth, the Rashba points out it's not really being mafkia mammon. The fact is, this is a continuation of the original shibud, which was from the original date. But nevertheless, this ability to write a new shtar, Rav would hold is reserved only for Beis Din. Ela Edim should also shlichusim, poison voice and shlichusan. But the Edim, having already accomplished their shlichus and sign on the original shtar, can they now unilaterally go and do the shlichus again and sign on a new shtar? So Rav knew of that Braisa, and still he's saying, yes, it says that Rabbi Yehuda would say the Edim can write a new shtar, Mizman Rishin. Rav is not arguing on the Zman Rishin, because he's saying that as well, on the original date, but he is arguing, you're telling me, Rabbi Yehuda, the Edim can write it. I would say that only the Beis Din has the ability to do that. Tosfos explains actually somewhat differently it would be fine to write a shtar that is the original date, because look, they wrote a shtar on that original date. The Gemara is saying that, what do you mean? Because they did their shlichus, does that mean that now they should be able to write another shtar? The loiva wants them to write a new shtar, but they don't have a right on they don't have a right to write new shtaris at all. even with the loiva telling them to, Beis Din would have to do that. So the Gemara answers back, Veloy. So why not? Why wouldn't the Edim be able to write a new shtar? The Edim can write even 10 shtaris on one field if the original shtar was lost. And once we say that applies to a field, then bepashtos it would apply to other kinds of shtaris as well. Tosfos says, what do you mean? We talked about it. We had a whole sugya before that said, hey, you can't write a second shtar on the same field. So Tosfos says there we were talking about where he claimed that the shtar was lost. We don't know that for sure. So then we can't write a second shtar because the whole issue with Knunya and everything that we dealt with over here. Here we're talking about we know the first shtar was lost. So then Rabbi Yehuda is telling us in the name of Rav that yes, they can write a new shtar. So why over here would Rav be saying that no, Davka Beis Din has to write the shtar? So the answer is Rabbi Yosef Amar b'shtar matana. Because Rabbi Yosef says that particular case that Rav is allowing them to write a new shtar is where the shtar was a shtar matana. So therefore, there's no achrayus, and therefore that prevents any knunya involving achrayus from being able to be done, like we learned previously. So then they can write a new shtar as long as Tosfos says, we know that the original shtar is gone. Rabba Omer, b'shtar she'en b'achrayus, Rabba says, even with a shtar mekach memker, if it's explicitly written in it, there's no achrayus, same thing, either way, because that avoids the knunya. But in other words, that would only apply to those kinds of things. It would not apply to a shtar halva, and therefore Rabba is saying, when it comes to a shtar halva, where you're going to have Edim writing that there's a shibud and that he owes him money, et cetera, only Beis Din has the ability to write a new shtar like that, not the Edim. And therefore, Rav is consciously disagreeing with Rabbi Yehuda and the Braisa, who says the Edim have the ability to do that. And he says that no, only Beis Din does. But as far as the point that Zman Rishon, yes, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda hadn't specified one way or the other. In the Braisa, he clearly says that it means that the new Shtar is written Mizman Rishon. Fine, Rav agrees with that point that the new Shtar bears the same date as the old Shtar, even though it was written later. Okay, so then so we'll continue tomorrow. Beis Hashem, the Gemara is going to quote the entire Braisa in full and analyze it and continue with this topic about the dating of Shtaris.
Yeshikayach.